But she is outspoken in her faith in Christ, outspoken against abortion, outspoken in support of biblical marriage, outspoken as a conservative. And she's a very attractive young lady, and she's smart, and she's talented, and she's mocked. And you go out on the internet and see any of the reviews and things for her movies, the Christians will say, oh, we love this. And then the unsaved people, in a large way, and maybe not everyone, but a lot of them, just mock her, make fun of her. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's an example of what happened. When she was on, you can watch that on YouTube, when she was on The View and the way they treated her when she spoke up. That's just a very public example of what really... If you're living it right, you're doing it right, that's what's going to happen to you. Most professing Christians today serve God for the purpose of getting something. And that's why when life gets rough, they quit. That's what you see all the time. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you got saved because someone told you, if you get saved, Jesus will come in your heart and your life, and He'll give you everything you want, and you'll be happy. You got sold a bill of goods. What Jesus does is save you and take the guilt and shame of sin away from you. And He will enable you to have joy in loss. Have joy even as you're being mocked. Have joy even if you live in poverty. Have joy if there's going to be a Great Depression next year. But a lot of these professing Christians... If you see the economy continue to go down and things get bad, you'll see them jumping off roofs and blowing their brains out and taking too many pills. Because they were sold a bill of goods. So real quick, the implication number one is the disciple is not above his master. So which describes you? Sacrifice or self-satisfaction? As a Christian, you're all about sacrifice. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. You present your body as a living sacrifice. It's your reasonable service. You sacrifice for the sake of others. If you're all about self-satisfaction and you find yourself constantly thinking, what do I want to do? What is it? It's all about me. I want to be happy. I want to do this. I want to do that. Something wrong. Amen. So verse 40 again back in Luke 6 closes by saying, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. There you go. It takes faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But if you get filled with the book, get filled with the Word of God, you'll get filled with the understanding that this is not the life where you get your inheritance that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Yeah. Amen. The inheritance is in the kingdom to come. Amen. And this can be true in this life to some extent. But it's on a spiritual level. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, Paul said, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And so you can get in the place where, in spite of loss, you're as happy as can be. And if you can reach that point, you're spirit-filled. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be superhuman. There's going to be things that will upset you. You order a chicken sandwich and they give you, a hamburger and you're not supposed to be eating hamburger for some reason. You can get, come on, man, can't they ever get my order right? And you turn around and go back. You gave me a hamburger, I ordered a chicken. And, you can be gracious about it, say, okay, well, thank you very much, and then leave. I'm not saying you just walk in and say, glory! Glory, glory. I got a hamburger instead of chicken, praise God. Don't act like you haven't got a brain in your head either. I mean, be real about it and just tell them what happened. You got my order mixed up. You gave me a hamburger. I want chicken. Okay, well, I'll be right back. Here you go. We're so sorry. Well, thank you very much. That's normal. See what I'm saying? You can handle things. But I know people who have lost everything. In your mind right now, I want you to think, what would your life be right now? What would it mean to lose everything? I mean everything. Kicked out of the place you're living in. Car broke down, don't work. Or repossessed. starting to have to do all your shopping at thrift stores. Not by choice, by force. You can only afford to eat oatmeal, eggs, and ramen noodles. 3 meals a day. That kind of thing. Most Christians, most American Christians can't even imagine living like that. And yet there are Christians all over the world who are among the poorest of the poor. And when the missionaries find them or visit them, or maybe they get saved, they remain poor and yet they're happy. Yeah. I'm not one of them. I still have to work on that. I'm being honest with you. But I'd like to believe that if it came like that and I had to deal with it long term, I could deal with it. So if you want to be like Jesus, then spend your life serving others. Amen? Amen. Self-sacrifice, not self-satisfaction. Look over at John 13. We're going to start wrapping it up here. But John 13:13. And Jesus says, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." Then read verses 14 through 16 with me. "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." And look what he says in verse 17. Read that. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." It's a condition. You want to be happy in Jesus? Trust and obey. We sing it all the time. At least we do in this church. We sing those hymns. "To be happy in Jesus." Amen. Sound like angels. Spend your life what?
Suffering.
For His name's sake. That doesn't mean you go out trying to find ways of suffering. You know, like the monks used to beat their backs and bleed. It's not saying that. It's saying be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to sacrifice for His name's sake. We're in John. We turn over to a couple pages to John 15. John 15, 18. "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." So the disciple's not above his master. If they're going to hate Jesus, they're going to hate you. If they're not hating you, you're not doing it right. That's the fact. Verse 19. Go ahead and read 19 through 21. "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they don't know Jesus. And they don't know the Father. You don't know you don't know Jesus, then you don't know the Father. And that's why we say Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if you're going, what I said, it may sound funny, but if he says it right there. If you aren't living a life that causes people to hate you, you're not doing it right. Amen. And, you know, I can give you some tips. The day they passed gay marriage, Jenny and I went out with a sign, and all it said was, homosexuals choose their sexual sin. Turn to Jesus and believe the gospel and be saved. And they tried to run us over in a car. That's why I knew I was doing it right. So implication number two, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. In a question, would you suffer for Jesus' sake? That's not a, you know, you're not going to answer that in 5 seconds, but that's... And let's look at 640 one more time as we close up. Let's look at Luke 640. Read it with me. "The disciple is not above his master, But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And this will be the case after the rapture. The last place you want to read is 1 John 3:1-3. This is where you get the blessing of being willing to suffer for Jesus. 1 John 3:1-3. Verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." That's exactly what we read before. Now read verses 2 and 3 with me. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Final implication there in that verse, this means that everything not of eternal value is a complete waste. Now, don't get me, I gotta say this. You have a job to do, and it's, you know, let's say it's picking up things on a construction site. If you do that as unto the Lord, for the glory of the Lord, you will get rewarded for that. So don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean preaching and singing and going to church. That's all good. But you should do your job as unto the Lord. Your boss is a Jewish carpenter. You work as unto the Lord. You love your spouse, your parents, your children, your siblings, your neighbors. You show love to everybody every chance you get. You preach the gospel to the lost. You just live your life completely emptying yourself for the Lord. Amen. But anything you're doing that, I mean, even when you go off with the family for a little time away, God likes that. You're pleasing God. And that's how you ought to live your life. So as the musicians make their way up front, we have a closing thought, and that is this. Does God need to adjust your attitude? He will if you won't. If you will open His book and adjust your attitude according to His Word, then He won't need to do something extraordinary to adjust your attitude. But if you're His child, God is your Father, and you won't adjust your own attitude, then God will take it into His own hands. I remember years ago, there was a song it's an old country song. It was an attitude adjustment. You remember that? To something about that fella, he had a friend who wouldn't listen, and he kept going to the bar and getting drunk and then wanting to pick a fight with anybody in the room. And then finally one old boy shut his mouth before he even got the words out and used his head for a mop and his butt for a broom. That's a joke. Some of you will get it 10 minutes later. How many of you know people like that? Had to have an attitude adjustment. Well, in the spiritual, you're looking at one. But what I try to do is I try to be one of those people that learn from the Word and not learn from having to be taught by experience.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's what this is all about. Your attitude, really. And only you know the answer to that. I can only put it on you to search your heart. What is my attitude? And I'm not going to re-preach the sermon again like a lot of preachers do at the end. Just for you to remember what you heard and allow it to adjust maybe some of you just need a tweak. Whatever it is, only you know. Let the Word of God do that. So if you will, turn to page 242 in your hymn book and stand.
Jesus, I come to thee. Thank you.